charge Jinergy! Put in your booby rocks. Live your best life. Keep doing you.
This meeting is being recorded.
Whoa, okay. Hello, Alexa.
all right. Hey,
that
everybody.
Ain't creepy. I don't know what is.
All right. Welcome to this episode of So Much Jinergy. I'm super excited this week because we have a fun new guest. I'm going to butcher this name, but we're going to go with it, and I'll have him tell you what it is after this. Because it took me like 5 minutes to write it down and sound it out. So my new buddy Kyle is here, and it's Kyle Spreedies.
Yes. Kyle Spreedies. Well,
Spreedies? Wow. Oh, yay. Fun. Okay. I kept saying like
10 Wheaties. Points to Gryffindor. Look at that.
Awesome. All right, Kyle. Well, welcome to the show. Good times. Good times. Yes. So yesterday I had slapped the corn dog onto the meditation drum. Kyle thought it was really funny. And so I blew his mind because I showed him it was a pen today. It's actually a pen. So we'll just slap that right there.
My goodness. You have to have tiny fingers.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't want to write with a corn dog? I mean, it's a good time.
Yes. Maybe you're actually supposed to hold the corn dog to write.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so. This one's a little less greasy than in real life. You know, sometimes the corn dog gets a little bit greasy.
We don't get those in Australia.
I don't even know. I don't know. She found this, and my best friend found this some random store, I'm sure. Just some random store. I'm sure.
I love it.
Yeah.
She knows you.
Yeah. It's that's it. Yes, that's exactly it. All right. Well, so we're super excited to have you here. And now do you, okay, why don't we, I mean, I just have so many questions. I feel like I'm about to explode.
Go for it.
So I know that because we've been talking for about a month, you know, back and forth on some chats and things like that. And I know you have a new book coming out. So why don't we start there? So where did the idea come from for your new book?
Yeah, for sure. I guess it came through prayer, which it's not something I do all the time. I mean, when I was younger, I would pray just out of my own vocation. Like I'd just be inspired to pray every night and just say, you know, look after my family, look after, you know, I don't know, maybe a bit of a naive kid, but you know, look after all the people in the world, you know, like give them all everything they need, Lord, and all these sorts of things. And it's not like I grew up in a incredibly religious family, or I was, you know, like, you know, I guess your normal orthodox sort of religious, or you know, super observant in through religion, but I just had that faith and belief that there was something greater, and that if I had communication with that greater force, that I could send, you know, good energy around the world. So, about a year ago, I was sitting down in my room, and you know, I've done photography for about 6 years, and that's my main bread and butter, photography and videography. And one of the new projects that I focus on is capturing journals, so elderly people's journals, and telling their story in a video format. And that was obviously a big passion. However, I felt like I was still trying to journey towards my real purpose, like trying to figure out where the, you know, like the dots lined up, you know, trying to draw, connect the dots. And
yeah,
I was just sitting there and I kind of was in prayer and, you know, I kind of said, look, you know, energy, what energy force, whatever. I just said, I've had multiple near-death experiences. I've had a long winter, you know, in my life, and then I've had a long autumn and spring and lovely times. You know, I just recently came back from Sydney holding my grandfather's hand as he passed away, you know, which was very like special experience, difficult experience, because he was like my father, my grandparents. I lived with them for most of my life and they became my parents.
Sure.
And I just said, Lord, you know, energy, amazing force that is, mm-hmm. you know, please help me align myself with my purpose on this earth, because I'm not fearful. I'm not, you know, I'm not caught up in the fear of existence.
Gotcha.
But I am impatient. I want to be on my path, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So,
right.
You know,
so you
I'm not scared,
kind of bossy.
But I am impatient.
Bossy.
yeah, a little bossy. A little look. I'm not being one of those. Yeah.
Right. But I love that you were being impatient. So yes, like, but you're passionate and impatient. So it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
It can work. I hope you didn't mind. But I was, and I just said, like, you know, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, you know, I want to get on path now.
Right.
I don't want to waste any more time.
Sure.
You know, I've had lots of experiences. I'm happy to have more experiences, but I just want to get on path and do the good work that I'm mm-hmm. supposed to be doing in my life right now, and giving back. You know, I know what's on the other side. You know, and so one of the surgeries I had, I was pretty much, you know, dead for about 5 hours, like, because they have to pretty much shut you off. So
oh,
it was
goodness.
Serious stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah, so I was just wanting to get on path, and then this kind of clear as daylight, you know, message, just write the book. Like, write that book about your life. Write that book about your life that's going to inspire people. That's going to take, you know, grab the takeaways of your life. And you're still young, and it's a book that someone who's still figuring things out, but this is what he's learned from what he's been through,
right.
And you know, create something that could be transformative for someone else to experience. So yeah, that's how it started.
Wow. So with your, this, because I know we talked before the show that you actually had a few near death experiences that you had mentioned. So the one that you talked about that you were essentially gone for 5 hours, do you feel like that experience allowed you to have a closer connection to, like, your intuition or to God or to source or energy? Or do you feel like it was getting stronger each time that you almost, that you kept coming back?
Yes. I think it's like you're passing through thresholds in life, you know, and,
okay.
And there's so much BS and ego that we kind of code ourselves in for protection.
Sure.
From the raw reality, and, you know, facing life, facing ourselves, facing our, you know, maybe it's a harsh word, but inadequacies, or facing the fact that we could be doing a lot better, you know,
right.
And we kind of cover it up with a lot of other coating.
Sure.
Instead of embracing ourselves. I mean, like, what you're doing, you're putting yourself out there 100%, you know, you're getting into the uncomfortable zone, or you, like, maybe at first was uncomfortable, and
yeah.
Each time you have massive growth, and you have messages, you have, you know, like, messages from internal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got to keep going down this road. So yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of death and rebirth in life. Someone else taught me that. They said that, you know, about death and rebirth, and I think there's a lot of death and rebirth.
Sure.
You're killing off your old self, or you're, you know, you're burning away the stuff that's not going to help you.
Right.
And it's so funny, because when you're younger or a teenager, or when you, you know, get into identity politics or the ideologies or different sort of things you stick to. And then as you go on and you go through, say, near-death experiences, you go, oh, there's quite a bit of baggage here I need to drop, because if I'm going to keep making it through life, I need to get rid of some of this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you would actually put the baggage down during those experiences, or do you feel like after those experiences, when you would come back, that you then realized you had to shed some of that?
Yeah, I definitely think I had to shed it. I think, you know, obviously some things you put down, some things are harder, sure. Especially maybe traumas that are childhood traumas.
Sure.
If you experienced abuse and in different ways, mental abuse, even physical abuse, different sort of things, some of the things that you attach yourself to find yourself at that time takes longer to remove.
Right.
But I think a lot of those things can be your fake self. You know, your I've got to be tough here, or I've got to be a man. I can't cry, you know, right. Because when I was younger, I faced this tough thing and I didn't cry. And, you know, that's what got me through. No, that's not what got you through. You know, your heart and soul and your spirit is what got you through. So, sure. You know, those things, I think as a man, maybe took a few times to get through.
Right.
This weird idea that you had to be, you couldn't be a heartfelt man or male,
gotcha.
You know.
Yeah.
That you couldn't cry or release emotion.
Yeah.
But geez, if you can't release in this life, then you're in for a whirlwind, because there's going to be a lot that comes in. And you're going to release. And I remember watching your video about your journal the other morning and kind of dedicating that time and having that plan. And you know, you said you got it from a spiritual teacher or mentor, but having that plan to go through allows you to release, you know,
yes.
In the morning and at night.
Right.
Because how much stuff do we you know, transmit or transfer through us?
Right. So, yeah. Wow. So is the picture behind you, which I know some people on the audio obviously can't see, but on the video, when you catch the video, either on Roku or YouTube, is the picture behind you, that is your grandfather?
Correct. So, I mean, to explain the picture, elderly looking man, like facing off camera, blue beret. And yeah, he kind of has like a bit of a stoic look, he's an observer, you know, so he's an architect. He,
gotcha.
At family functions, he would observe everyone, you know.
Okay. So,
but then he would come in for the conversation and then he'd be the, you know, the jokester and the life of the party, you know. But then again, mm-hmm. he would kind of step back and he was really good at observing himself, you know, and observing others and observing life. And I think that's why he was definitely the happiest soul I ever knew.
Nice. What an amazing experience too, to have that in your life as a teacher and as a father and grandfather all in one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. And so when you were growing up, did you have a lot of like spiritual conversations with your grandpa, or how did that work?
So I guess the thing is, probably the closest person was my grandmother, you know, like
okay.
The closest people like were my grandparents. But when I came from South Africa, Johannesburg, and long story short, I came over to Australia and, you know, left my whole South African family. And I, you know, was walking up the stairs in my stepfather's parents' house, so my grandparents, which they're my Australian grandparents. So they're my Australian grandparents. They pretty much became my parents.
Okay.
Have no blood relation to them whatsoever. So at that time, I left all my biological family in South Africa, and I was walking up the stairs, and my Australian grandmother saw me walking up these stairs and saw this lost look in my eyes, and kind of this fear, you know, kind of looking at all these Australians and going, you know, this isn't my South African family. This isn't who I know. Like, you know, and she said she felt this overwhelming feeling like shoot through her body, and this message from God that she was going to be important in my life, which is amazing, because at 14, I actually had nowhere to go.
Oh, wow.
And in the middle of the night, I skipped a couple of trains, and and knocked on the door, and they came down in their gown, you know, and they let me into their homes, and they let me into their hearts.
Wow. And then you stayed into being an adult?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That is exactly. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I just went on a retreat this weekend a week ago to Montana, and we were talking about how you find your tribe, right? Like your people, and you're trying to think what the quote was that they said. I think it was like, you don't birth your tribe, right? So you don't necessarily have to like birth your tribe, but your tribe births you. Right. So they support you and just hold that space and energy for the real you. Oh, I just got chills.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
And so 100. I think just so many times, thank goodness that there was openness and receiving on both your end and your grandparents' end. Right. Because if anybody had been closed off, you would have missed out on that relationship for sure.
Yeah. And at that time, very volatile time, like my life could have gone either way. So
sure.
If they didn't open their hearts and their arms and to me, I don't know where, like it was literally like nowhere else to go sort of situation. So
yeah,
lucky I did find my tribe.
Yeah. Right. And I'm sure they needed you just as much as you needed them.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was worried.
I keep getting chills. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope I wasn't a late night calls and, you know, right. I've got to be a parent again. And
right.
they were amazing. I was able to go into their room every morning, every night and have a chat with them, you know, an hour long, 2 hour long chat, you know, talk about life, talk about some serious issues, you know, considering cutting people out of my life who were very close to me and all sorts of different things, you know, when I had health issues and a lot to deal with as my grandmother was a counselor for about 60 years and she was so, well, most of her life, sorry. And she was so cute. She would say, oh, you've been through a lot, like for a young kid, you know, and he goes, but you're going to have a great life. And she goes, by God, if you don't, then I'm going to, you know, have a good word to God when I get up there. And I was like, she was so cute.
That's amazing. Not only that, to have a grandma that has your back and, you know, then she'll put a spiritual slap down if she had to, you know.
Exactly, man. I wouldn't be messing with that.
Right. Oh my gosh. But how amazing to have the memories of the times together, literally of just talking and sharing those experiences and knowing that you have that connection every day and every night. That's the best. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's one of the greatest times in my life. Definitely just being able to have that connection, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. Is your grandma, is she still alive?
Yes. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. And then how long ago did you lose your grandpa?
That was 2019 October.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh goodness, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so I went over there and kind of for 2 weeks was there by his side because we got him a hospital bed because this man, he's never been he never was ill. Yeah, so you know, he was on his way to turning 92. He was never ill. Never had to be on medications, never had any, you know, vaccinations, never had any surgeries, never had any hospital stays. I think the only thing he actually ever had was I think he ate some bad food and he had food poisoning, like for a period of time.
That is terrible. Yeah, that's terrible.
But his whole life, he never had anything. So he got sick and then he had to like go to hospital. And apparently, like I was in Perth, Western Australia, and they're in Sydney. And what I heard was that he was just losing it because he's never been in that situation.
Oh, gotcha.
You know?
Okay.
And so the family got him a hospital bed, put him into his house in front of his view, and then he was able to pass there over 2 weeks. So I went over there and looked after him, and I would you know, put some pillows on the floor and lie there, and he'd wake up in the middle of the night and he'd yell, Guinness, Guinness, Guinness. And that would be my alarm clock. And the funny thing is, he was never a drinker, but they say apparently when you're passing away and when you're pregnant, you have a thing for Guinness because of the iron in Guinness.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's like got this deep history. Like, and so I went and would grab him like Guinness in the fridge. But it just, this need for Guinness came out of nowhere. Like, it was so peculiar.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's so amazing too that you could be there for him. I mean, I'm sure that was super special. And
Yeah,
we had just talked a few weeks ago with one of our friends, Dana Humphrey, and she's actually a death doula, which is, you know, coming in and just holding that space for whoever's going to pass, you know, if they don't have family or just needed somebody to be there with them. And I thought, wow, that's so amazing to have somebody there to just be there with you, you know?
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an incredible service that person's really serving.
Do you wonder too if your grandpa kind of helped push your book into fruition? Do you feel like he kind of had something to do with putting the idea out there for you?
Yeah, I think when you hold someone's hand, you know, who's basically been like your father, and you literally watch them take their last breath, I think it really puts a lot of perspective in your life. And I think you start, you know, and that was 2019. So, you know, that was before a whirlwind.
Right.
You know, he passed just before the Australian bushfires happened, you know,
wow.
And the Australian bushfires were the biggest thing, you know, ever. And then obviously there was one thing after the other. So
right.
I think what happens when you do have that experience, you don't get caught up in too much of the minutia in life that has people fighting on all sorts of sides.
Right.
And you really focus on what's important. So yeah, I definitely think he'd helped out with the book. And he did, he gave me the title. When I was 18, you know, he 10 years earlier, I was sitting on the couch in the living room and he turned towards me and the sun was kissing the side of his face and he had like this boyish bubbly smile and he just, you know, had his beret on and he just said, decide your destiny. And I was 18 at the time. I went, what? What? And he said, decide your destiny. And I said, what are you saying, Clive? He goes, Kyle, whatever you do, make sure that you decide your destiny in your life. So that's the title of the book, Decide Your Destiny.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I'm super excited. And when does your book come out?
So it's with the editors at the moment. And just going back and forth. So I'm going to hopefully find out a date that I can kind of commit to pretty soon.
Okay.
Yes. So hopefully, you know, they said them editing can be 2 to 4 weeks. So say maybe late June. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Exciting.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, oh my gosh. And I bet your grandma's just so excited.
Yes, she is. She's she's always says how proud she is, and then she always tells me that same story, and because I give her a call, like I try to give her a call every day, and yeah, it's pretty cute.
That's so fun. I love that.
This episode is brought to you by The Grief Reef. Have you found yourself splashing around in the tears of your emotions or of your grief? Finding yourself swimming along the grief reef for way too long and you can't pull yourself up? If this is you, here's a few suggestions to help you get off the grief reef. 1, you can journal your emotions and get that out on paper. Grab a tissue box and just cry it out until you feel better, and sometimes taking a nap helps too. Or if you feel like you don't have anybody to connect with for your experience, I'd be happy to help you through this. Feel free to email me at feelthegenergy@gmail.com, or you can schedule a time on my calendar through my website at somuchgenergy.com.
Did you find too that when you were sort of going through like your rebirth, and like each time you would have almost like a that transformational energy that you would kind of like, almost like a leveling up, right? Where you would kind of level up and you were just in a different space, right? Like a different vibration. And did you find that each time you almost had to kind of purge the people in your life or realize, okay, this is not as healthy as I thought it was?
Yeah. Level player one, level up. Yeah, no, I think. yes, exactly. You know. I think, yeah, naturally. And one thing my cardiologist actually told me pretty early on, because what happened is I had a serious experience and like a life-death experience for quite a while, and I did a juice fast and I got rid of the bug that was basically eating a hole into my heart. So naturally I got rid of that.
Goodness.
And then, yeah, and you know, and the other alternative at that time was to put a metal attachment and have my life pretty much compromised. So
yeah.
I had my stepfather fly over from Ireland and was able to say, hey, these are the two directions. Do you want to try this thing called the alkaline diet? And I went, look, you know, all I know is rugby and protein at this stage of my life, you know, and weights. I don't know much about this stuff, but, you know, I said, do you believe it can work? And he said, yeah. I said, look, I trust you as a man.
Right.
Let's give this a go.
Yeah.
And I did that juice fast, you know, in the hospital. Seriously intense time, and got rid of it. But then eventually I had to have surgery to repair that part.
Gotcha.
But there was no option for repairing it in the hospital. It was pretty much, no, we got to cut this chunk out of your heart and put a metal. But when I went out of the hospital and I started seeing another cardiologist and you know, the chances of repair every few months got better and better. And this one cardiologist I was seeing, he said, Kyle, just be aware that your friends are going to change. You know, your group of friends that you've known for so long, you're just going to naturally outgrow them because your life experience is going to be, sorry, I'm not tearing up. I've got something in my nose.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hide that. I'm really choking up here. it's too hard, Jenny. Sorry. Something weird going on in my nose. But anyway, so he said, look, naturally you're going to outgrow your friends because your life experience is going to be totally different. And what your focus is going to be is going to be totally different.
Gotcha.
And I really thank him for actually saying that because it was true. You know, I'm not focusing on partying and, you know, abusing my body and different sort of things. I'm kind of going, oh, like, you know, what can I source from this life? What can I get out of this life? You know, what can I do with every single heartbeat I've got left? Like that's my kind of my mission, my focus.
Gotcha.
And I think it definitely allowed me to figure out and define my purpose a lot sooner than kind of swim around like a lost fish in the ocean.
Gotcha. Do you feel like the hole in your heart was a metaphor for like things that had happened to you?
I feel like certainly I truly believe that your emotions can heavily impact your physical state. So I was pushing down so much pain, so much hurt, so much abuse for so long, and I was just piling it on, pushing it down, trying to get rid of it and not face it, because you know that was my limiting belief. That was my messed up understanding that I had to be tough and I couldn't process things.
Yeah,
I, you know, had to be a man or
yeah,
you know,
absolutely
something like that.
Gosh.
Which is quite ridiculous. But yeah, so lucky I've had a lot of, you know, inspirational women in my life, powerful women, incredible women that have helped me to see something that is not necessarily as common in men, which is to talk through things, you know.
Right.
And yeah, look, might be stereotypical, don't want to offend anybody at home, but generally speaking, what I've found is I could speak a lot. And that's one thing my grandfather loved, is he said he would love chatting to his, you know, cousins, his daughters, the women in his life, because he felt like he could have such a, you know, deeper conversation and experience and you know, it'd be a lot more interesting.
Right.
You know? And I think that's why I was able to have great conversations with him and his wife and yeah, going on. I think being able to connect with a lot of, you know, different women mentors in my life really allowed me to kind of open up to that side.
Yeah. So if you could figure out, or if you could identify what your passion or purpose or your destiny or your superpower or whatever you want to call it is, how would you identify that, or what would you call that?
This is it's a beautiful question. And, you know, I think it's something that we're always finessing. And I believe, like, as we kind of head back towards ourselves, as we kind of uncover ourselves, you know, like I have that belief that we know everything. We're just trying to relearn it and re-understand it. Like, you know, kind of, you know, that sort of intuition, like you go and you go, I know this, or like, I actually understand this. Like that's so strange. Like all the, you know, deja vu like moments. And I think it's, I believe in our soul, and I believe in the depth of our soul. And I think we're just like coming here to relearn in a different way and those sorts of things. So I think, sorry, what was the question again?
That's okay. So what do you feel like your passion or your purpose or your superpower would, or your destiny would be, whatever you want to call it?
Probably inspiring the greatest part of ourselves would probably be the thing, you know, like being a provocateur for getting uncomfortable and, you know, going through those growing pains,
right?
So that you can, you know, you can fortify the, you know, this great self of you. And, you know, I think, I'm not saying that there's, you know, another version of you. I think it's some part of you that's already in yourself. And that's something I try and do for myself every day. So I think a lot of times, you know, I guess maybe for the listeners at home, when you're trying to source what's my like mission, what's my main purpose, what's my thing, like for the world or to serve, it's usually something that you're trying to do, you know, in yourself as well. You know,
yeah,
it's kind of like that mirroring effect. And I think, yeah, it's probably service, giving back. My grandparents gave to me, so I've got to pay it forward. I definitely know that. And just switching on that inspiration in other people's hearts and souls, I think that's a very exciting part of life, you know. And it can happen in a conversation, like we're having a conversation now.
Yeah, absolutely. I have found too that it's almost where I feel like we've come here and we're almost like pure energy, and then we learn things, right or wrong. I mean, it is not right or wrong, whatever it is. And then as we get older and try to step back into that pure energy, that we have to almost break that foundation down it's almost like a relearning, or like a stopping and starting, or however you want to call it. That's how I feel. Yeah. Like I feel like that's the stage I'm in. Like I'm just tearing everything down, and then we're going to like just be raw for a hot second and then run 150 miles an hour into whatever that looks like.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And you're always kind of preparing yourself for the next thing. And I think that intuition is kind of like that thing that tells you like what's right or wrong, or what's pulling you like I tried this for a week, but you know, I'm not a yoga teacher. I can't do that. Like, you know, and then something else pulls you, and you're kind of just going through and working out.
Yeah.
All right, what's my purpose? What in this time, in this part of my soul's journey, in however long my soul's been around, you know, as an energy force, where am I directing?
Yeah.
Where are my best efforts met?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. Do you have anything coming up in the short term? Do you have anything coming up soon, or?
Well, I've got to make a Decide Your Destiny Daily Dose in the next hour or so. But so basically, I've got these daily videos that I put out on YouTube, on Instagram, and sort of things, and just called Decide Your Destiny Daily Doses. And they're, you know, 5 to 10 minute videos. Yesterday, I had a gentleman who's a Rotarian, who's doing Give a Can, Give a Damn. And I asked him some questions about, and that's what they call it over here. That's the, the program. Give it, give a cam, give a damn, mate.
I love it.
come on, mate, give a cam. And so they, so his thing is about, he's a provocateur, you know, or a catalyst for people giving more of themselves in terms of charity.
Sure.
And he believes that everyone wants to give back.
Sure.
They just need the permission.
Gotcha.
So
I love that.
Yeah. So I did a video with him yesterday, you know, and I just asked him like two major questions, you know, like where do people go? Like how do they find the place that they can actually, you know, give and feel confident in giving? And also how do they know that they're giving their service, their commitment is going to the people they want it to go to.
Right.
And, you know, and so I've got his answers. So that's one of my decided destiny diagnoses. Then I might go out for a walk on my own this morning and something that I'm, you know, going through,
right.
I might put into it to a quick 5-10 minute video.
Okay. So, awesome. I love it. And what's your YouTube channel?
So it's just Kyle Spirides, you know, that name you pronounce so well.
Yeah. And so if you're looking for it, it's K-Y-L-E, so Kyle. And it looks like Spy Rides to me. So that's how you spell it, Spy Rides.
Yeah. That's true. That is, could not be more true.
So, for us U.S. citizens, it would be easier to find for Kyle Spy Rides. Yes. And I did see your little videos. They're super cute. And I love that your intention is out there on just sharing it for the greater good. And yes, I'm definitely going to check out more of your videos.
Yeah. And for anyone, I guess, tuning in, a lot of times, you look at business coaches, and one of the reasons business coaches become business coaches is because they need to coach themselves. They need to organize themselves. They want to get the skills so they can get to the next level for themselves.
Sure.
And they pass that on. Same thing as all sorts of different mentors and teachers. You know, a lot of the reasons you do things. So, you know, if someone out there is trying to work out what to do, if you do it for yourself, you know, like you're probably also going to want to pass that on. You know,
if you
look at these people that make a lot of money, they don't need to write a book or create a course or do anything to help other people make money. But they go, actually, I uncovered something. I didn't go to the boys club. I didn't get gifted all these things. And you know, it was kind of, you know, given a deal here and there under the table. I actually did it the hard way. And here's how my fellow citizens can try and do it as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness that you're okay. Are you healthy now?
Yeah. Yes. I think what happens is when it's something like heart disease, not many people know it's like the number one killer in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so 20 million people pass away a year from it. So it's serious. It's a serious deal. It's not spoken about or how should I say, promoted enough, I believe. But I think it's something that you're always going to be aware of and manage, and you're always going to look after. So in a way, it gives me a gift because I've got to be consciously aware and consciously taking positive actions.
Sure.
You know, and consciously embracing every single heartbeat.
Right.
So that's probably where my inspiration comes, you know, and maybe a better answer for, you know, what do I think my thing is or my purpose is probably, you know, letting people in on the big secret that every single heartbeat of their life is an incredible gift and they need to grab it with both hands.
Right. Yeah, I love that. Oh, gosh. Yes, I got chills again. Yes. Ooh, I love it.
Good,
I love it.
Yeah. 3 out of 3.
Right. So people can pre-register for your book on your website. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Just kylespirides.com.
Okay. Awesome. And then you're on YouTube, and then I have your Facebook link, and I'll go ahead and put that in the podcast notes. So if people want to just click on it there, they can find you. And yeah, we're super excited to meet you, and I'm super excited we finally connected. And yeah, I am just, I know we'll keep in touch. So we'll definitely, Yeah, I'll put some good little juju out there for your heart and your, well, here, I'll give you more corn dog on the meditation track.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm feeling it. It's vibing through in my heart. It's reverberating.
Right, right. All right. Well, we will see you again next week, everybody, and have an awesome day. Okay, bye.